Welcome to the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for Friday, June 25th, 2021. And we're coming to you at the end of an extraordinarily busy week and a great week for infrastructure. Yesterday, the announcement was made that at the White House that a bipartisan agreement among Senate leaders has been reached on an infrastructure proposal, the framework for an infrastructure proposal. And this is very good news coming out of weeks of negotiation. And the president, of course, blessed or endorsed the proposal, which is always a good sign. And we also have some action coming in the House in the next couple of days that we want to talk about. So really a lot of things happening. Steve Hall is joining us, as always, to kind of go over the specifics on what's going on. Steve, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here, Jeff.
This has been a really good week, and it's positive for infrastructure and the engineering industry. What kind of give a snapshot of exactly what we're looking at here, because it's a lot to take in.
It is, Jeff, but it's really huge, and you know, it's anytime you have a bipartisan group of lawmakers standing there with the president with smiles on their faces announcing a deal, I mean, that's a great thing. And of course, it's a deal on what we've been lobbying for and pushing for now for several years, which is a big transformational infrastructure package, $1.2 trillion in total size. That includes, you know, not only what we're spending now over the next 8 years, but it envisions an additional almost $580 billion in new spending. So it's a framework. It is an outline of a deal that will get bipartisan support in the Senate. They need to fill in some blanks and some detail as to what, you know, the actual legislative language is going to look like. But, you know, this is a great thing. And it's an opportunity, like I said, that we've been waiting for quite some time.
Yeah, the numbers are historic. I mean, if you look at what is current law and the FAST Act and the money that was actually set toward surface transportation, highways, roads, airports, transit systems, and you look at what this represents in new spending, it's a significant jump. And then you tie that to what's happening in the House and the Senate right now on the individual authorization packages, and you look at the whole package and you look in, and you say, my God, we're looking at such a significant increase in what could be going towards the built environment that it's almost a paradigm shift in what we've been thinking about in terms of what infrastructure investment could look like. The impact on the industry could be, you know, generational, I would say, just the amount of money over time and the investment that it could spur. This is really a landmark opportunity.
And the timing couldn't be perfect, Jeff, more perfect, because, you know, you alluded to this. I mean, the House and Senate are making progress on new surface transportation programs to replace the FAST Act and some significant increases in investment in water infrastructure, drinking water and wastewater, and replacing, you know, lead service lines and dealing with PFAS. And, you know, the House is going to vote on a massive package next week totaling over $700 billion. That is a combination of a new surface transportation program, which by itself is about $550 billion. And the balance is water and wastewater. And they're combining it together. And you know, we have similar legislation that has either cleared the Senate or is moving in the Senate that, you know, would provide that detail, that substance to fill out this framework if the leadership in the House and the Senate and the White House choose to go that route. And that would be a logical thing to do. So the fact that they've kind of come to an agreement on this top line goal and the substance of what it includes in very broad terms, and the fact that again, Congress is making so much progress on detailed initiatives that could easily be integrated into this. Again, the timing is good. The House has indicated that they want to see the Senate act first. So we hope that the Senate and Majority Leader Schumer has indicated he wants a vote in July, which is going to be a challenge, but it's doable. Given, again, the progress that that they've made already in the Senate on some of these packages. And so, you know, it's conceivable that having all of this done by September 30, which is a critical deadline, as many folks know, in the surface transportation context, because that's when the current extension of the FAST Act expires. I mean, that September 30 deadline actually looks doable. You know, assuming the House follows on, you know, Senate passage fairly quickly. So, you know, it's an opportunity for this industry. It's certainly going to be a major focus of our advocacy efforts between now and then. And then, of course, we continue to work on the PPP issue and getting a fix for our members as part of this package, and we're making progress there as well.
Absolutely. And this is when, you know, if you have action on this package by September 30th and it fits within the timeline that everybody's working on, because we do have to have something in place by September 30th. And I don't think that anyone's actually talked about an extension. I mean, I think that's the last thing on people's minds. The last thing that they want is to extend the FAST Act once more.
Right. No, we want to get it done.
Yeah, we want to get it done. I think that there's a lot of opportunity here for working on that PPP issue with a legislative fix, because there are going to be so many moving pieces and opportunities to work this language into any final bill, that it's a perfect time now for our members just to double up on the pressure and get this into the front burner, in the front of the minds of the members that are really involved on this, that the PPP issue is something that should be considered in any legislation that really, you know, comes down to the finish line. So this is great news. Momentum is with us, but on this one issue, the FAR credits clause, it is go time for our members to really start, you know, continuing the getting loud on this issue in front of their members of Congress. Because I think as one thing that our board chair, Robin Grievely, mentioned, is that she had a conversation. I think, Steve, you were involved with that with a member of the state house, I believe, in Massachusetts, and had the conversation about this issue. And by the end of the meeting, you know, that member understood what the problem was.
Yeah. No, that was Congresswoman Catherine Clark of Massachusetts. Okay. Yeah. And no, that was a good discussion. Matt Reifer on my team was actually there with them to talk about that. But yeah, no, I think, you know, we're going to get some language into the surface transportation, into this big $700+ billion package next year or next week. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee staff is working with us on some language right now. It's not the complete fix that we really want. It's can best be described as a partial fix. It is a step forward. But we continue to be, you know, using every lever we possibly can to improve upon this. And so we're going to work this and get as much and the best deal we can in the context of this legislation. And then, of course, you know, we still have a lot of work to do in the Senate and potentially some other avenues for a more comprehensive fix. So we're going to play every card in the deck and use every resource, like I said, at the end of the day, just to get the best possible outcome for our members.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking about a lot of big numbers both in what the House and the Senate are working on their own reauthorization packages, and then, of course, the bipartisan agreement that came out yesterday. And, you know, the question is, okay, what does this boil down to for impact on the industry? And coincidentally, we took the forecast that really came out of the ACEC Research Institute that looked at a five-year prognosis for AE sector activity. And we thought, okay, well, how does that rack up against all the proposals that are out there? And we started this not too long ago. We looked at the Republican alternative to the jobs plan. We looked at the jobs plan itself, and then this bipartisan alternative. And just looking at what was agreed upon yesterday and what that would translate for our industry, the numbers are significant. And what we found was that this bipartisan proposal would yield more than 82,000 full and part-time jobs in engineering and design services, generate $62 billion in AE industry activity wages, and $75 billion in GDP. And it would overall, over the lifespan of the bill, it would lead to a 6% average increase in engineering and design services sector activity, and push annual output really from an estimated 2021 level, $352 billion to $416 billion by 2026. Those are all extremely impressive numbers that would directly benefit our industry.
Yeah, and Jeff, that's just our industry. Imagine if you extrapolate that across the economy. I mean, really, this really is a generational opportunity. The fact that the president, this bipartisan group, found a way to come together is just phenomenal. And so now we've got to support this process going forward, make it a reality. This is something, I mean, it's going to keep this industry very busy for years to come. And it's really going to yield benefits to the American people for decades to come, all of the work and the things that this package will support, you know, really will have a huge impact on society and touch everyone.
Yeah, when you think about that larger impact on the economy, I mean, the research that we did earlier, we know that one in 33 jobs is tied to or benefits from the sector that we're involved in, the engineering and design sector. We also know the multiplier effect that for every job created, that two are created downstream, and that those jobs are well-paying because the average job in engineering and design services across 50 states, the average is about 88,000 compared to 60,000, about 60,300 for the average salary across all U.S. industries. So they're well-paying jobs, 82,000 jobs created directly for us, that multiplier effect, and now you're talking, you know, significant job increase just because of sector activity. Anyone out there listening in Washington who thinks that investing in infrastructure doesn't convert into actual growth in the economy, the numbers disprove that. You invest, you grow, both GDP, jobs, everything. So this is a monumental opportunity, not just for engineering, but for the economy as a whole. A lot happening, and a lot happening in Washington. We're going to stay on top of it. Steve, I know you have a busy afternoon planned. I appreciate you taking the time. We'll have you on again very soon to talk about this, but thanks for being on.
Thanks, Jeff.
And again, this has been your Government Affairs Update for June 25th, 2021. We'll see you next time.